Welcome back to part two on this week's podcast here on Come and See Inspirations. My name is Shane Ambrose, and I'm delighted that you're joining with us on this week's podcast on what is Palm Sunday and the beginning of the high week and the low week, you could say, of the liturgical year as we enter into the Holy Week and we journey towards the Triduum, the sacred Triduum at the end of the week. John, of course, is manning the controls and keeping things over. And we are delighted to welcome a special guest to this week's podcast with us this week. It's Sister Christian, who is a sister of a disciple of the Divine Master, and is joining us from Dublin. Sister Christian, how are you doing?
Oh, fine, thanks, John and Shane. Thank you for inviting me here, and I look forward to trying my best, but you can fix up the rest, so I'm very happy about it.
the joys of being on the podcast. We can fix the little bits. So Sister Christian, you're going to take us through a reflection on a kind of things, just thoughts and reflections, speaking from the heart in relation to Holy Week. So I suppose the mic is yours. What would you like to share with us this week? What would you like to share with our listeners?
Okay. Just for a while, let us make a short journey back to Jerusalem to remember what happened to Jesus in his passion and resurrection, which is brought nearer to us in this coming Holy Week and Easter. As we commemorate with the whole Church and Christian people Christ's triumphant entry into Jerusalem, the crowds muttered, "What will happen? Will he come to the festivities or not?" The atmosphere was electric with anticipated excitement. Everyone was going up to the temple in Jerusalem for the celebration of the Passover. Jesus was going up too, but quite privately, to fulfill what was said in the scriptures and to do the Father's will. At a time without mobile phone or internet, in an excitement like the football or rugby match, or more recently like that of a St. Patrick's Day parade, the children and people had heard Jesus' parables and witnessed his miracles, his healing of the blind, the lame, and cripples, and those with leprosy who knew his love and longed for more bread. Everywhere was abuzz with electric excitement as they cried out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that is coming. Hosanna in the highest." All this is prophesied in the scriptures. "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on an ass's colt." So for Jesus and his disciples, when they drew near to Jerusalem, to Bethpage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go to the village opposite you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find a colt tied on which no one has ever sat. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord has need of it,' and will send it back immediately." And they went away, and they found a colt tied at the door in the open street. It was as Jesus said, and they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their garments on it, and he sat upon it. And many spread their garments on the road, and also spread leafy branches which they had cut from the fields. But as for the Son of God, the wise and gentle Jesus, who knew the will of his Father, and that his kingdom was not of this world, he didn't come like the Roman emperors on a white stallion in a victory parade. He came on a colt, humbly, on the foal of a donkey. The children of the Hebrews, carrying olive branches, went to meet the Lord, crying out and saying, Hosanna in the highest. It was 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by some trick and have him put to death, for they said, "It must not be during the festivities, or there will be a disturbance among the people." A short while later, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, approached the chief priests with an offer to hand Jesus over to them. They were delighted to hear it and promised to give him money, and he looked for a way of betraying him when the opportunity should occur. On the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when the Passover lamb was sacrificed, Jesus's disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So he sent two of his disciples to go into the city. "You will meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him and say to the owner of the house which he enters, 'The master says, where is my dining room in which I can eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. Make the preparations for us there." Jesus was well aware of Judas' plan to betray him, and he wanted no disruption to his plan to celebrate the Passover with his disciples, since this Passover was of special significance to him. At the Passover is a remembrance of Moses leading the chosen people out of slavery in Egypt. It is the time when the paschal lamb was sacrificed, and the blood of the lamb was sprinkled at the doorpost and lintel of the houses where the Hebrew people lived. The last of the seven plagues passed over and did not destroy them. And all the people crossed the Red Sea on dry soil, and so were freed from the slavery of the Egyptians. God worked many wonders for love of his chosen people. After the disciples had prepared the upper room for the Passover, when evening came, Jesus arrived with his disciples, and they were at table eating. Jesus said, "I tell you most solemnly, one of you who is eating with me is about to betray you." With what a heavy heart he must have said those words. They were distressed and asked him, one after another, "Not I, surely. One of the 12 who is eating with me will betray me. He is going to his fate as the scripture says he will. Alas for that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Better for that man if he had never been born." Judas went out, and it was night. He went to the chief priests and paid him 30 silver pieces, and "He whom I kiss, he is Jesus." Jesus would have felt this betrayal keenly. And in the upper room, as Jesus and the other disciples were at supper, Jesus took some bread, and when he had said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take this and eat it. This is my body." Then he took a cup of wine, and when he had returned thanks, he gave it to them. And all drank from it, and he said to them, "This is my blood, the blood of the new covenant, which is to be poured out for many. I tell you solemnly, I shall not drink wine any more until I drink the new wine in the kingdom of God." After psalms had been sung, they left for the Mount of Olives. Jesus said to his disciples, "You will all lose faith, for the scripture says, 'I shall strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' However, after my resurrection, I shall go before you to Galilee." Almost everyone knows the story of the suffering and death of Jesus. Let us see what the prophet Isaiah prophesied so rightly about what the Son of Man was about to suffer. "See, my servant will prosper. He shall be lifted up, exalted, rise to great heights. As the crowds were appalled on seeing him, so disfigured did he look that he seemed no longer human. So will the crowds be astonished at him, and kings stand speechless before him. For they shall see something never told, and witness something never heard before. Who could believe what we have heard? And to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Like a sapling, he grew up in front of us, like a root in arid ground. Without beauty, without majesty, we saw him. No looks to attract our eyes. A thing despised and rejected by men. A man of sorrows and familiar with suffering. A man to make people screen their faces. He was despised, and we took no account of him. And yet, ours were the sufferings he bore, ours the sorrows he carried. But we thought of him as someone punished, struck by God, and brought low. Yet he was pierced through for our faults, crushed for our sins. On him lies a punishment that brings us peace, and through his wounds we are healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each taking his own way, and the Lord burdened him with the sins of all of us. Harshly dealt with, he bore it humbly. He never opened his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep that is dumb before its shearers, never opening his mouth. By force and by law he was taken. Would anyone plead his cause? Yes, he was torn away from the land of the living, for our faults, struck down in death. They gave him a grave with the wicked and a tomb with the rich, though he had done no wrong and there had been no perjury in his mouth. The Lord has been pleased to crush him with suffering. If he offers his life in atonement, he shall see his heirs. He shall have a long life, and through him what the Lord wishes will be done. His soul's anguish over, he shall see the light and be content. By his sufferings shall my servant justify many, taking their faults on himself. Hence I will grant whole hordes for his tribute. He shall divide the spoil with the mighty for surrendering himself to death and letting himself be taken for a sinner while he was bearing the faults of many and praying all the time for sinners. Jesus, in his passion on the way to Calvary, in the Garden of Gethsemane, he sweat blood and prayed three times that his cup might pass him by. Yet not his will, but the Father's will be done. Why? Because a greater love no man has than to lay down his life for his friends. And we are those friends. All the disciples fell asleep, and Jesus asked them to pray that they may not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, said Jesus. Judas betrayed Jesus, and Jesus was arrested for 3 silver coins. Is that the price you pay on the Son of God? The disciples abandoned him, and they all ran away. Peter, in a moment of weakness, denied him 3 times. Jesus had a mock trial and was falsely accused by the chief priests, Herod and Pilate, a grave mockery of truth and injustice. Jesus was stripped of his garments, humiliated, spat upon, and scourged by the soldiers. Then carrying his own cross, he was led to be crucified between 2 thieves. He fell 3 times, met the women of Jerusalem and prayed for them and their children. He met his mother and his heart was broken. What love must have passed in that one glance as he trod on the cobble streets of Jerusalem.
Thank you.
that's not the end of the story. Jesus didn't just die and end his life. You can't kill the author of life. We believe Jesus is the Son of God, both human and divine. That is what he said he is and what he says is. He spoke and cured people, the lame, the dumb, the blind, lepers and cripples. He raises the dead, Lazarus and the daughter of Jairus. He healed by touch, and they were healed. So when Jesus says, "After my resurrection, I will see you in Galilee," he means, "I am the resurrection. By my power as God's Son, I will rise again." And he did.
Thank you.